I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent means to come. And during our Christmas season, we kind of pretend we're back in those days looking forward to the Messiah coming. But we also look forward to his second Advent, his second coming. And this psalm really is an Advent psalm. It speaks of the coming Messiah and his reign, his judgment that's to come. And that's a good thing. And we'll talk about that. He will destroy all the evil around us that troubles us. And many of us feel troubled in these days. But praise the Lord, he will take away the evil in us also on that day. I love the Heidelberg Catechism. It's a Dutch reformed from the Dutch Reformation. And the first question, it's not the first question. First question is, I'm not going the first question. I'm not sure which one this is. Maybe later on. But if Jesus died for me, why must I still die? And part of the answer is death puts an end to my sinning and is my entrance into life. And so we look forward to Jesus coming again. Now, in this psalm, it's important to know not only what is said, but who is speaking. Because several people in this psalm speak. David speaks. It's his psalm. He asks a question. Why do the nations rage? God speaks. The rulers of the earth speak. And we in our hearts along with them. And Jesus, God's anointed one, the Christ, God's Son, he speaks. So there are a lot of speakers. There's a lot going on in these few verses. So to simplify it, let's consider three things. First, the anger of man. Secondly, the laughter of God. And then thirdly, the refuge for sinners. So, the anger of man begins with a question. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? It's a very reasonable question, isn't it? Why do the nations rage? There is rage all around us. The world is a violent, angry place. The nations rage. Our own hearts rage. There are wars. You know, if you think about how many wars has our country been in? It's a lot. In my lifetime. I was before World War II. I'm not that old. I'm close, but I'm not that old. I'm a few years away. I'm the next decade, let's put it that way. The beginning of the next decade. You can figure out my age. There are shootings. There are murders. There's all kinds of abuse. So many homes are filled with abuse, both physical and verbal abuse. There is anger at home, and we find, sadly, anger in the church, don't we? People really can get angry in the church, can't we? In the church, at each other. Yeah, we used to live in Nairobi, Kenya, and when I was driving with my two children one day, we were driving down sort of a side street. Apparently somebody had yelled thief. Because if somebody points to you and says thief, you're in trouble. And so we saw people running, many people running, picking up stones. And this supposed or not real thief, I don't know, is going to be stoned to death. So I quickly did a U-turn with my children. I certainly didn't want them to be in the middle of that. This rage and anger can spring up like that, like a wildfire. Ever notice how quickly you can become angry? How quickly we can become angry. Our own hearts can rage with jealousy, envy, anger, lust, and other things. We need the Lord, don't we? Sin is deep and powerful in the heart of man, and only the blood of Jesus can cover it. Only the power of his Spirit working in us can change us. But notice, the anger isn't just spontaneous. It says the people's plot. They plan. Their plan is against the Lord and his Christ. And this word plot is also used in Psalm 1. Can you guess what word that might be? Same word is used in Psalm 1, translated differently. It's meditate. Meditate. To think about, to ruminate over. Their hearts are filled, literally murmuring under their breath. Murmuring under their breath, plotting against the Lord. This murmuring makes me think of Paul in Acts 9. But Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Paul was muttering under his breath, as it were, threats. And that Greek word paints a picture of a bull, you know, a bull snorting, and, you know, he's ready to charge. He's angry. And that's the exact picture we get in Psalm 22. Psalm 22, Jesus tells us about his coming crucifixion. And says, many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. Jesus experienced the worst anger of rage and man. They plot against God because he cramps their style. It reads verse 3. Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. God is a killjoy to their sinful pleasures and sinful life. Does anybody ever use the word killjoy? He gets in the way of what I want to do. Like Pinocchio, he says, "There, I don't want no strings on me. I don't want to be under the Lord's yoke." Because that word cords, really probably better translated yoke. They chafe and grumble under God's yoke. But you know, God's yoke isn't onerous, is it? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Remember, the Pharisees laid heavy burdens on the people. My burden is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy, says Jesus. I can never get that right. I'm too dyslexic. And so these guardrails God gives us are not meant to cramp our style, but they lead to abundant life. Think of the gift of marriage. God willing, in March, Gail and I will have been married 46 years. What would we have done without God's guardrails of life and marriage? Not that they made us perfect, but he gives gifts of confession, repentance, forgiveness, his word, his spirit, his people, the church. You know, to have a successful marriage apart from that good luck, it's hard with that, isn't it? But it also can be a great blessing. A great blessing. And I think about the church. Last few years, I've thought about what do people do that don't have church? What do they do when hard times come? Some of them are just alone. But in the church, we can have true friends who care for us. If for no other reason than that, I would want to be a member of a church. But apart from Jesus' grace, we hate God and we hate each other. We have no use for our Heavenly Father's guidance. We rage and meditate. We murmur murder under our breath, the very breath that God gives us each day. We use to curse. So what is the response of God to all this anger, to this meditating, to this plotting? Does he get up off his throne and pace and wring his hands? Is he worried that this thing just isn't going to work out? Is that the case? No, we're told. He laughs. Hakuna Matata, no worries, right? He laughs because he knows he will accomplish all of his purposes. He will accomplish all of his purposes. In Acts 4, Peter quotes Psalm 2, and Peter says this: why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your Holy One Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. You see the counseling together? Pontius Pilate, Herod, the Gentiles, the Jews. You're in the Bible, you're either Gentile or Jew, right? All of humanity and all of its leaders are gathered together, those bulls snorting against Jesus. Because ultimately, the one that's hated is Jesus. But how does Peter finish this? They were gathered together to to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. God was not thwarted in the murder of his son, but actually in that his plan was fulfilled. His purpose, which he had from all eternity to save a people in his son Jesus. And it was through his death, bearing the wrath of God for our sake. Daniel says, all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heavens and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? None can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? The plans of God are indestructible. They're not empty, but full. We shall rise on the last day. We shall sit at the marriage feast of the Lamb. We shall see the wolf and the lamb together, and the lion eat grass like the ox. We shall be forever with the Lord. We shall be like Jesus. Why? Because none can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? And so he laughs. His purposes will be fulfilled. You know, we need to take a cue from our Heavenly Father. He doesn't get up and wring his hands or say, oh, no, it's just, it's not going to happen. This is not good. We Christians in the last few years especially are so agitated. We are so agitated. We are at each other's throats over the things of the world. God laughs. God hates sin, but God laughs. Why don't we take a cue from our Heavenly Father? Well, the hymn says we can laugh at all our foes. We can laugh. We have a lot of foes right now, don't we? I was in a coffee shop the other day, and I'm going to threaten to trigger you by telling you this, but I don't care. You got to learn, you know? And they were talking about, one of them mentioned, have you gone to Hobby Lobby and get crafts? And the other said, oh, no, that's hate crafts. They're Christian. And the other said, they're Christian. Thank you for telling me that. She said, yeah, it's like hate chicken. You know what hate chicken is, don't you? Chick-fil-A. Yeah. So I got out my baseball bat and beat the heck out of both of them. Well, you can do that in your heart, can't you? You can let them control your day. Or you can let Jesus control your day. That's my challenge. Don't go home thinking about all those women. That's not a blessing. You know? Go home thinking about Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Maybe you could pray for those women, right? Might be a good choice. Remember, there was a great storm, and the disciples were just terrified. And what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping in the back of the boat. Jesus was chill, right? He was okay. And they were just so afraid that they turned angry toward Jesus. Jesus, don't you care that we're going to die? Jesus is probably thinking, well, you know, don't you care that I'm going to die for you? It's okay. Be still. Let your, I can still the waters. I can also still your hearts if you'll let me do that. So, will you continue to meditate on your favorite news channel, left, right, up, down, sideways? I could care less. It's a blessed reason not to have cable, but anyway, that's another choice you have to make. You can live with it, fine. You know, let's not, church, bring all our stuff into the church. You know, sometimes we're like driving a big dump truck of our stuff. Things we're angry about, and we complain about, and you know, those two women talking about hate hobby and hate chicken, and we back that thing right in the middle of God's house and pour all our stuff out. And wow, we blessed everybody. Not really. Are you willing to die for that? I'm challenging you. Are you willing to die for that? Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Take up the instrument of death and put these things to death. Don't send that angry email. Oh, it feels so good to send it, doesn't it? It feels so good. And dying feels like dying. But you can die to that. You hit delete. Out of that. Or you just have to talk to somebody about something that you're troubled about. You can die to that. See, those are the things you die to. None of us yet have been asked to be burned at the stake and to die that way. But every day, there are ways that we need to die, not accosting each other, but letting love cover a multitude of sins. Not accosting someone, not accusing someone, but asking a question instead. Treating someone as a brother or a sister. God speaks. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, God speaking, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. What does God say that terrifies the kings of the earth? I have a king. I have a champion to do my will. The Father installed Jesus on an everlasting throne, and he will judge the nations with a rod of iron. John 5, Jesus says, for as the Father raises the dead and gives him life, to also the Son he gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one but has given judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. And the Psalm speaks of Jesus as the judge. And the Father has given all judgment to the Son, that the Son may be honored. For every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, friend or foe. They will honor him. And if there is not a just judgment, how can God be a just God? How can all these people who did so much awful, cruel things get off? Well, they're not going to get off. Adolf Hitler shot himself to get off, right? He didn't want to go to prison. He didn't want to be torn limb by limb or whatever was awaiting him. But a judgment awaits him. Judgment awaits all of us. We need to come to that judgment in Christ, not outside of him. It is to the believer's comfort to know that God's rod is for the protection of his sheep. The shepherd uses that rod to take away the enemies. Good news is that the Son, God's mighty champion, had all our iniquity fall on him. That rod with which he shall judge the nation and dash them to pieces, he hit himself. He hit himself with that rod, that we might not have to be hit with his rod of judgment. And so Jesus alone can be the words, last words of this psalm, the refuge for sinners. The psalm ends, blessed are all who take refuge in him. Begins with a benediction, a good word, a word of blessing. All this is going to happen. But blessed are those who take refuge in him. Note who it is that Jesus has longed to gather under his wings, his chicks. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and those sent to you, how often would I gather you as a hen under her wings?" Fascinating. You who stone the prophets, who kill those who come to you, oh, I long to show you sinners my love. Long to show you sinners my love. He's the one in whom we find refuge. And how do we do that? Well, we come humbly to the King. We kiss the Son, lest his anger be kindled and we perish. When Saul anoints, when Samuel anoints Saul king, he kisses him as a sign of submission to him, as a sign of respect. When Elijah says, "Lord, I'm alone," and God says, "Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel," all those whose knees have not bowed to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him. To bow before Baal, the false god, the idol, and to kiss him are the same thing. It's to pay homage to him. And so we pay homage to the Son. We kiss Jesus, as it were, submitting our lives and ourselves to him. Remember back in verse 3, the rulers say, "Let us burst apart their bonds and cast away their cords from us." And how that word, probably cord, should be translated yoke. If I can get my pages unstuck, I'll finish in a minute. What does Jesus say again? "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." In submission to King Jesus, there is life. In submission to Jesus, fully, completely, there is an abundant and true life. When I kiss my wife, it's to show my loyalty and submission to her so I don't perish by her rod of iron. Well, not exactly. But that's our morning greeting. Every morning, we say good morning and we kiss. It's a way of saying, "I love you. You are mine. I am yours." We only have this with each other and no one else. And so, are we growing to kiss Jesus, to love him? So, oh Jesus, how wonderful that you are mine. and I am yours. And so I greet you in the morning with a kiss. I'm growing to love you. I know you'll always love me more, but I'm growing, Jesus, to love you. If we live in this attitude, all the other things really will seem small, will they not? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you do love us. That you've loved us with an everlasting love. That you do have a rod of just judgment. We're happy for that. Lord, we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. How we thank you that you do not strike your sheep with a rod, but that you struck yourself. We might have life in you. We pray in your great name and for your fame. Amen.